Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier, y'all gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Yo, what's up? Welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier, sitting here with the wonderful Deanna Kent. What's up, D?
What's up, Zay? Thank you for that introduction.
Yeah, of course. And today we got a super dope episode, man. If you listening to this, I will advise you probably want to watch it. You're probably gonna see it because it's important for the visuals right here.
It's a must see.
But before we start, I want to advise everybody to please like, subscribe, leave a 5-star review or 5-star rating and a review for the podcast. We're trying to get those ratings, subscribers, reviews, all those things up. So if you do that, we greatly appreciate it. And before we start this show, Deanna, she's going to go into our first sponsor.
Yes, sir. So you guys already know what time it is. It's time to get fit and get paid with the Lean and Six Body Transformation Challenge, brought to you by our guys over at Commando Athletics. You know, here at the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast, we are firm believers that health is wealth, and this is a perfect opportunity for you to make your health a priority. This 6-week challenge comes with easy to follow workouts and meal plans, so you'll see results in no time. Minimum equipment is needed for both the home and gym option, and all fitness levels are welcome to enter. And the best part about this challenge is the top 5 performers will each earn $1,000 each for having the best 6-week transformation. All you have to do is sign up, show up, and show out. This challenge starts October 11th and ends November 20th, and it will only cost you $79 to enter. You can sign up today at www.commandoathletics.com.
And as always, the link for that is in the description of this podcast. So getting right into this episode, we got another special dope episode, man. If you into watches or luxury anything, you definitely should tune in, because I got my guy Alfred on. So, and I'm super excited. We've been playing this for about a month now, so we're glad he's here. So welcome to the show, bro.
Thank you, man. Thank you guys for having me, man. I don't think you guys understand how crazy this is.
Hey, we gonna get into it, man.
Man, I used to watch you guys like a year and a half ago, like just when I was broke at a dealership, just watching you guys on my computer in front of him. Just to be here is crazy.
Damn, that's crazy. Sure. Just a year and a half. Well. He said he was broke a year and a half ago. He ain't broke no more. He up now. So get right to that. For the people who may not know who you are, do you mind just giving like a quick background on yourself?
Yeah. My name is Alfred Green. I'm 27 years old. I'm from Connecticut. It's like Northeast. Nobody knows where that is. And I moved down here about 7 months ago to become a watch dealer in Dallas.
Wow. Yeah.
I kind of just upped and left.
Yes.
Like, literally in the matter of like 3 days.
Really?
Yeah.
So 3 days.
You can ask her. She gets mad every time.
You said within 3 days you just said I'm out.
Pretty much. Yeah. So I was I started in like a Hypernova Group. I
don't know. Right. Shout out to my guy Scrap and Reese.
Yep. Yeah. They. Right when I joined that, that's what changed my life, kind of, you know what I mean? So I started flipping sneakers, clothes. We were flipping the Telfar bags, the the pools, the heaters, everything. And then if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have built up enough capital to, like, buy my first watch and kind of be here where I am now. So I definitely owe them some big time.
Shout out to them.
Yeah.
So was it you buying that first watch what sparked you to want to be a watch dealer?
Not really, man. It was crazy. So I found the company that I work for, Gentleman Timepieces, via TikTok. So they, wow. You know, Daniel Mack.
Social media is a
yeah, yeah. You know, Daniel Mack.
Yeah.
What do you guys do? What did you do for a living?
I met him before.
Yeah, he's cool. He's mm-hmm. cool kid. He saw my boss and his R8 and asked him, like, you know, what he's do for a living. He plugged in all of our contact info. And then, like, a couple weeks later, we gave him a free Rolex. So we gave Daniel Mack a free Rolex. And that's what built our relationship between us and Daniel Mack.
Man,
that's how I found and I started watching YouTube videos, and then I wasn't thinking of anything of it. It was just something that I just watched because I was like interested in it. And then literally kind of like one day I just woke up and was like, sell everything and buy a watch, you know. So in the time span of a week, I sold all my bots that I was doing. I sold pretty much anything I could and bought my first Rolex. It was a Submariner, just the same one that Tay got you.
Yep.
And you know, when I got it in, that was the first ever Rolex I ever seen. I never even seen a fake Rolex before I seen that.
Really?
You know what I mean? So when I first got it, I thought it was supposed to be bigger. So I was like kind of underwhelmed on it, you know? Yeah. So I was like, damn, that's it? You know?
Just sold all this
yeah,
stuff?
And yeah,
just...
yeah.
Oh, man.
But then I was like, damn, I really got like $9,000 on my wrist.
On
your
wrist?
It's crazy. It's like, and that was literally like 7-8 months ago. And then... got the watch and I was like, you know what, fuck it, let me just, sorry, if I, can I come?
No, you good, you all good. Right. Yeah.
So I was just like, fuck it, let me just send this text. So I was writing this text for probably like 45 minutes, trying to see the right things to say, and send it to the owner of the company that I am now, saying basically, if you give me an opportunity, I'll pack up all my shit today and work for you tomorrow. I'll drive down, I'll pack up my whole life, drive down in my little BMW to Texas and work for you for free.
Well, what did he say?
He basically, like, after a day or so, he got back to me, basically said yes, and I was like, bet. So, you know, I got everything in order. I planned it, and then a couple of days later, I was, like, driving down, packed all my stuff, and then just drove down.
How did you get his number to text him?
Because when I bought the watch.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I bought the watch. So his number was actually posted everywhere. We weren't as big as
right,
what we are
today.
Now. So mm-hmm. So he had his number pretty accessible. And that's when I was texting him to buy the watch. And then that's when I was like, you know, let me just text him and see if this works. I didn't even think he was going to reply because he probably got that like every day. You know
right.
What I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was wild.
What did like your friends and family say at the time where you were like, hey, I'm leaving like tomorrow?
All I know is like what my dad said. And then obviously my girlfriend, she was devastated. She couldn't even believe it. I kind of hinted, like, so it was like a Sunday, and I was like, babe, what if I moved to Dallas or Texas? And, you know, I was just like putting it out there. And then I think the next day I was like, yeah, I'm moving to Texas this week.
It went from I'm thinking about it to yeah, I'm gone.
Yeah.
That's a lot to adjust to.
Yeah, it was crazy, man, because before then, the furthest place I ever went was like Philly. Mm. I used to go to Philly. I'd never been anywhere else. But there and then like maybe Florida for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to me packing everything up and just driving just down to somewhere where I had never,
been, never
been. Yeah. So it was definitely
that's crazy.
Experience.
Yo.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then you got here. So when did you get here?
I got here March 1st.
When
I got here. This year.
Of this year.
This year, yeah.
That's crazy. So your life completely did a 180 in less than 12 months, pretty
oh,
much.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can't even, the words can't even explain how my life is right now.
Wow.
It's crazy, man.
So, what did, I forgot what I was just about to say. What was I about to say? I had a brain fart for a second. So, when you got here, and what was the first watch deal that you did? And how did you, how did you get the information
about
watches?
Yeah, so, all right. So, before I came down here, I knew zero about watches. I just knew you could make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I've always been a hustler, like ever since I was in elementary school. You know, I can tell you my first sales story. You know, it was field day, hot day, fifth grade, and last day of school. They were giving out free popsicles. And I was going back in line collecting the popsicles and selling them for $1 on the playground. You know what I mean? So, and I made like $34 that day. You know, so I'll always remember that because I got in trouble. The principal took my money, called my dad, and I never seen a bigger smile on my dad's face because my dad's a hustler. You know what I mean? That's where I get it from. And he just couldn't believe it. It was crazy.
Because he let you keep the money? I mean, you earned it.
No, now thinking about it now, they probably couldn't do that.
See, yeah.
My birthday, too.
So. Without knowing that, I would have thought you always kind of been in this because you come across naturally as, like, a good salesman. Like, for people who don't know, like, being at your shop, I remember when Tay was looking for the AP, was like, you was on it. I'm like, yo, he do this shit for real. So you would never know that he just started doing this in 12 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a salesman, but, you know, I definitely respect my craft, too. So, yeah. I read sales books. I have read sales books. I try to read things, kind of the psychology of sales, stuff like that. But, I mean, I haven't read a book in a minute. She always tells me to read. Mm-hmm.
So what did that transitional period look like once you made it to Dallas and you started working a job?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I got down here, and originally I was supposed to work for free for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Right. Damn. So I took that as, all right, if it doesn't work out, then I got 3 months of just training. Because I was going to bring it back up to Connecticut and try to do watch dealing. And I had no idea how big it was, like in New York.
Yeah.
And stuff, because 47th Street is crazy. Like, you know, I wouldn't be anywhere as I am now without the training that I had from, like, my mentor, Marco, and the two owners. It would have taken me probably 3 or 4 years to get to where I am right now if I did it alone. And I did that in 7 months.
7 months.
Or actually less, because I didn't start selling for, like, 2 months. So really it's been like 5 months since I've been selling watches.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, so, and we got to get into it because, like I said, like Deanna said before we started, this episode, I posted it on Twitter, I posted it on Instagram. I got a watch dealer coming on the show. If y'all got any watch questions, let me know, man. I got a trillion questions, so we definitely got to get into it. And you bought the box.
Oh, yeah, man. I brought some.
You bought some pieces. You can't see it on camera. He bought a security guard too, because he got some crazy pieces in. So he had to make sure that's secure. So like we could get into this. If you want to open it up, we can open it up.
So here, I mean, I already told you what I had in here.
Yeah,
so.
Just for the people to know, you got some Rolexes. They could see this. Woo! As in, how much is that?
So this is roughly like 1.5 million.
Okay, so you got 1.5 million.
First time ever on a millionaire mindset.
You got, hey man, we different, man. We doing it different, man. We got 1.5 million of watches. I'm gonna definitely talk my shit. No, he pulling out the gloves. Like we different, man. We on some different time, y'all. Y'all make sure y'all tune in. Yeah, 1.5. And so let's talk about this, because many people may not know that watches can be a way of alternative investing, and like, because they hold their value, especially if you're not busting them down. That's something we also gonna get into. So when we talk about this, the first question and the most common question I've seen is people say, what's a good starter watch for, like, an investment piece, that's something that can hold its value? So
yeah, so that all comes down to, like, really your budget. Because yesterday somebody came in and they asked me, you know, what's a good starter watch, what's a good investment watch? I don't really own any Rolexes. You know, what do you expect? And then I said, you know, what's your budget? He was like $100,000. That almost never happens. You know what I mean? Yeah, for a starter watch and a good investment watch. So I was like, hey, you know, if $100,000 is your starting watch, then let me just show you something that's like $150,000. And then I ended up selling him one of these, which is a Platinum Baguette Daytona.
This is
a platinum, you know. So these actually went up a lot since the last time that I sourced one, in about like a month ago. So these went from 150 to 170 in about a month.
You said went from 150 to 170?
Yeah.
In a month?
Yep.
And why is that?
Just the desirability of them, you know what I mean? This is, and really it's supply and demand. You know, that's the same thing with any product that you have. But this one, super hard to get from a Rolex. Yeah, so, authorized dealer.
Yeah,
they used to be really easy, and they used to sit. So this one retails for $87,000.
Oh, they retail for $87,000?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, like, what are the key factors for driving the demand for the watches? Like, what should you watch out for?
Honestly, like, the ADs, the authorized dealers, they know what they're doing. They make these hard to get, so people want them, and that just that's the reason why I'm employed. You know what I mean? Or even can do this on the side or whatever. You know, there's a million watch dealers out there too.
And what makes that specific watch so valuable?
Just the demand on it and the supply on it. So like they don't make too many of these and they don't offer them out. So I've had, you know, clients who spent, you know, a few hundred grand and they'll never get offered this. Oh. You know, I have a client, that he spent over $1 million, $2 million with his AD and he gets offered this. He gets offered like the Rainbow Daytonas. He gets offered like everything that's desirable from an AD, he gets offered because he spent, you know, that much money. You know what I mean? There's no such thing as a waiting list. You know, you'll go to an AD and they'll tell you, I'll put you on the wait list. You know, I'll put you on the list. So the next time this watch comes in,
you're
the person I call. No, that ain't true. It all goes by how much money you spend there. Yeah. You know, if you buy diamonds, you're going to be put on the first list because they make the most money off of diamonds.
You know? Would you say relationships too is a big component of
that? Oh yeah, absolutely too. Like as far as getting the watches, yeah, for sure. The relationship is very important.
One of the questions, and this shout out to Kiera, she asked this. She said what details in a watch make it valuable for collectors? Like what specific details?
So the movements are like pretty valuable. So I mean, right here we have like a chronograph. So the Platinum Daytona is a chronograph. So you can start and stop time. You can tell, you know, how it's like a regular stopwatch.
Okay.
That's basically the. And then this one right here is called the GMT. So beautiful. Yeah, this is a meteorite.
That's the Pepsi?
Yeah, this is a meteorite Pepsi, so it's white gold.
Okay.
So this one retails somewhere around like 30, I think, or 42,000, somewhere around there.
Around 42,000?
Now it sells for like 65.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that is.
But that's the meteorite. So they're running out of this rock because this dial right here is a rock that they cut, and it has to be obviously like perfect. Wow. Right, so they're running out of that rock. So now these are going up.
That's why they're going up.
Yeah, so these are
stuff,
going up.
So stuff like that, little details like that is what drives the price a lot of the time.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm all over the place too. I never answer any questions straight up. I'm sorry. I just realized that I didn't even answer your first investment question.
So what you think is a good first for investment?
So watch. if your budget's somewhere around like 5 or 6 thousand, I would say go with like a vintage Dejust. It's a two-tone. It's like what you see on all the movies. If you were to go on Wall Street in the 80s and 90s, you're going to see that watch. You're going to see a Jubilee bracelet, champagne dial, two-tone yellow gold, Rolex. Dejust. Or you're going to see the Bluesy, which is this, it's a Submariner two-tone with blue dial and a blue bezel. Mm. You're going to see either one of those two. So, but if you're in that $5,000 to $6,000 range, you want something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, like I was gonna say
I got a million questions, but before I continue on, we're gonna go into our next sponsor. This episode is also sponsored by Masterworks. There's a new app billionaires use to invest in a new $1.7 trillion asset. It's one that 99% of investors have never heard of. A market whose volume has grown 2,700% and has historically outperformed the S&P 500 while having virtually zero correlation to equities. Spoiler, it's high-end art. This app lets you invest in fractional shares of art similar to a company stock, and art has been more than just something pretty to look at. For instance, a middle-class real estate developer flipped his Basquiat for 5,814% gross ROI. That turned $19,000 into a staggering $110 million and $500,000. That's 407 times more than the S&P return, 581 times more than real estate return, and incalculably more than his savings account. But many top-tier paintings have price tags in the tens of hundreds of millions of dollars. Just imagine what building a diversified portfolio of them will cost. That amount of money can be tough to stomach, even for the richest on the earth. So Masterworks, the $1 billion fintech unicorn, came up with a solution. Why not just make them investable like a company stock? You simply buy shares in a multi-million dollar paint, and when Masterworks sells it, they'll send your share of the profits. It's that easy. Early investors already got a 32% annualized return from a Banksy trade in 2020. Luckily, you don't need to be a billionaire to sign up. In fact, membership is free. Naturally, demand has been crazy. 230,000 members have signed up. Over $250 million have been invested with Masterworks, and the waitlist to join is growing day to day. Lucky for you, I'm friends with the Masterworks team, so they gave me a special link to skip to the front. Just go to masterworks.io/mindsets. That's masterworks.io/mindsets. See important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. And like as always, the link for that is in the description of this podcast episode. So if you want to start buying art and making money in the art industry, go to the link in this podcast description to start today. So my question was, like, what's the best way? Because we've seen even, like, people, big people with notoriety, like Lil Baby, get finessed out of a watch, you know what I'm saying, out of the Rich and Mill. So, like, what is the best, like, route to make sure you're not getting finessed out of watches, whether it's, like, Patek's or Rich and Mills or anything in general, like, to make sure, like, how can you pretty much guarantee that you're getting the real deal on your watch?
So, I mean, a short answer is, like, you really can't guarantee that.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's just all about trust, right? So, like, if you deal with somebody you trust and they take the steps to ensure that that watch is authentic, then, you know, that's probably the best way. But as far as, like, you as a consumer, I mean, you can buy the watch and then bring it somewhere and then get it authenticated or get it authenticated before you buy it. But besides that, if you don't trust the person that you're buying it from, I usually say just don't stay away from that anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, like, either build a relationship with somebody or find one of your friends who has a relationship that with somebody that he trusts to get something like that. Because, I mean, it can happen to anybody. You know, right. Like you said, it happened to Lil Baby with that Patek, which is actually pretty funny because that watch just looks fake. Like, you can't really tell, but, like, the bezel was a little bit wider. It looked, like, it looked, to somebody who doesn't know, like, it definitely looked legit, but nobody knows why that watch is worth $400,000.
Why is it?
You know what I mean? Because it's a 40th anniversary, and it's a very special model of that Patek. It's kind of really hard to explain. They made, like, very little, and it being an anniversary edition, it also makes it harder.
Makes it harder.
You know? And most of the people who get these watches that are very limited, they don't sell them. So you can't really find them.
Oh, you can't find them.
You know what I mean? So somebody who's willing to sell it, they want the top dollar for it. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. That makes sense. And I want to ask, if people are buying watches for, like, investments, like, how often, is there, like, a manual on, like, how often they should wear it, or it doesn't matter?
No, I mean, I don't think it matters. You know, I'm a big believer in, like, even shoes. You know, if you're going to buy shoes, wear them. You know, if you're going to buy a car, drive it.
Wear
it. You know, if you're going to buy a watch, wear it.
Right.
You know, like, this stuff is meant to get used, because if it doesn't get used, it breaks down. That's what I think. You know what I mean? That's what I say. So, like, if you have a watch and you're just going to put it in a safety deposit box for 10 years, when you go back to that safety deposit box, something's not going to work. You know, those lubricants aren't moving in the watch. You know, those gears aren't moving in that watch. So it only hurts it more than anything. I mean, I know people who will wear the watch and they won't touch anything. They'll have their hand like this.
Really?
You know what I mean? But also then, like, don't wear the watch if you're just going to do that.
You don't do that,
like,
right.
Enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
Every single watch here is worn. You know, it doesn't matter if it costs $170,000, $70,000, $50,000, $400,000.
That one, you know? $400,000?
Yeah, this one's
$400,000. You mind showing that to the cameras?
You got to see that one.
They got to see that one. And you also got to break down, why is it $400,000? And is that $400,000 retail, or does...
No. So this was... retail was probably about $150.
What?
Retail was probably $150.
So you joking?
I'm not joking.
Oh, what?
So this is a...
You don't mean
$150,000. You mean
$150,000. $150.
Not $150,000.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably more like $200, but... Still, this is a vintage.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm here trying to make sure I'm clear.
Make sense.
You're talking about 200.00.
Yes, $200. Like, I told you I got Tay's money in my bag.
So that's that's a $200 watch, but you say this costs $400,000 right now.
Over time. That's how. So this is a very special watch, too, because for every Daytona that they made in this era, you know, they only made one all gold. right? So the ratio there is already, you know, kind of crazy too. Like if they made 1,000 of these, they only made 100 of these. You know, they didn't make watches how they do now. They didn't mass produce them like how they do, you know, like that, mm-hmm. that meter, right? You know, so over time, you know, there's a lot of different things about this watch that I could get into, but it doesn't mean anything to you guys. It doesn't mean anything to the viewers. So it's like not even worth, because like there's parts on this thing that, you know, cost more than
a
2022 Honda Civic.
Right.
You know, and that's just a part. You know, this bezel alone, you know, costs more than you'd ever think.
Really?
Yeah, how much? Like this little black part right there.
The black part, the bezel.
Yeah. I mean,
like $100,000.
No. Something like $25,000, $30,000.
That's crazy. That's still crazy.
That's for the one part. You know, if it ever breaks or something. So this is like, it's not museum quality, but this is definitely something that you don't see every day.
What year is that watch?
I believe, man. Marco's gonna kill me because I forgot.
And what's the name? What's the name? Which one?
So this is a Daytona.
Okay,
that's Daytona. Same as the Platinum. This one's also a Daytona as well.
Okay.
He
says $200 retail.
Yeah, I think it's like either 61 or something like that. 1961, okay. something like that. I forgot what it was.
Okay. Wow. Well, and what watches that you got on right now?
So this is, see, we like Daytonas here, so
yeah.
So this is a rose gold Daytona on Oyster Flex.
Okay. How much is that one?
So this one is worth about $50,000.
Okay. That's a beautiful watch as well.
Got that like sun dust on it.
How does it feel to wear like $50,000 on your wrist?
This business definitely like desensitizes you to money. Like really bad.
A different outlook, right?
Actually really bad. Yeah. I mean, like, even at the show, I go to a watch show every month. It's called IWJG. and it's one of the biggest watch shows. So everybody from across the country, all the big-time, like, watch dealers go, and there's probably anywhere from $150 to $200 million of inventory in that one room.
What?
Yeah. So, and most of these guys deal with cash, right? So it's funny. So it's all set up. It'll be like a booth like this. And it's just money counter after money counter after money counter that you can just use. So all day for the 2 days, I'm going back and forth with, you know, $100,000, $200,000 just counting it. You know, and it's just like seeing all that money in front of you. You know, like I said, a year ago, I would have been like, damn, what the fuck? Like, right. You know what I mean? Like a year ago, I would be like, damn, I could take that $100,000 run. Now, if I see $100,000, I'm just like, okay. You know, it's like doesn't have the same effect on me anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like I said, this business desensitizes you to money a lot. Because now, like, to answer your question, like what it feels like to wear a $50,000 watch, it doesn't feel the same way as I did last year or earlier this year wearing a $9,000 watch.
Mm.
You know, it don't feel the same. It's weird. You know what I mean? Even when I have like a $250,000 or $300,000 like RM, the Richard Mills. You know, like now they just look cool. You know, that's all it is. Before it would have been like, damn, this has cost a lot. Now it just looks cool. You know, it's weird. It's a weird like mind change that I had.
Even buying one, I think it's a mind change that has to happen for a lot of people. Because I know like a lot of people just look at stuff as like spending money. Like, oh, this watch costs $20,000. If I buy it, it means I spent $20,000. Well, that's not necessarily the truth. It's just a transfer. Instead of you not having cash now, you have a watch. Mm-hmm. The $20,000 is still there because you could sell it and get your money back.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, same thing with these like NFTs and stuff like that. You know, you're not spending the money. You're just transferring it from one place to another. And exactly. You're just holding it there.
That's the best way to look at investing.
Yeah.
That's facts. And so someone asks, does the watch accuracy of time play into the value? Is service history for certain pieces a big concern? So two questions.
So this is a cool question, actually. Not really. But it all depends on what watch we're talking about.
Okay.
Right? So if we're talking about something like, we use like this one, for example. So this one's a very special watch, too.
Okay.
So this is a 1980.
I like that bracelet, too.
Yeah, it's a Jubilee bracelet. It's a 1987 Pepsi. Mm-hmm. But this has a Tiffany & Co. stamped on it.
Oh, okay.
A Tiffany what?
So Tiffany & Co. stamp.
Okay, damn.
So this one was only sold by Tiffany & Co. You know, they would get a Rolex, and you know, it would only come like this if you got it from Tiffany.
Okay.
You know, you can't get this from like Rolex or like any other like authorized dealer kind of store. But for example, like if this was all original, which this one is, you know, this one's worth like $80,000, right? This watch. But if somebody found out you brought it to get serviced over the years and they replaced parts out of it, now it's worth something like $65,000. You know, it's not worth like at all because you took original parts out of it. Mm-hmm. But that goes for like vintage watches, right? If you did something like what's cool about this question is RM,
Virgil,
could actually raise the value if you get it serviced.
If you get it serviced, it raises mm-hmm. the value?
Yeah, because RM, what they do is, they'll replace parts, but they replace like, I don't know, they do some type of overhaul where they put like new parts in there, they warranty for another however long years, and mm-hmm. now instead of decreasing the value, they increase the value of RMs. It's weird. RM's very a tricky watch.
And speaking of Tiffany, my guy Reggie, he asked this question. He said, does nicknames before release usually equal more potential value? Like if Rolex is about to drop a watch and the watch community start calling it True Blue, is it usually a good sign to invest in it? And he also asks, how hard is it to get on the list to buy these watches as a beginner?
Yeah, no. Even if the watch does have a name on it, it doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be
a good investment.
Because I mean, they do that same thing with like sneakers too. You know, right. what I mean, they give sneakers nicknames before the drops, and that doesn't do anything for it. It's kind of the same way with the watch. You know, people just put the nickname so they don't have to remember the reference numbers. You know what I mean? So like me, I can tell you the reference numbers are pretty much all these. You know, like 116506, 126710, 116518. You know, like all these have numbers to me now. Like, when I see those numbers, I see watches. Okay. You know, the opposite. But it's not impossible to get like good watches as a beginner. Like when you go in there, it all depends on who your AD is, mm-hmm. right? So you can have a nice AD. You go in there, and AD means authorized dealer. You can have a nice AD. You go in there, you talk to them, you get to know them, they get to know you, and sometimes they'll just offer you something. You know, they'll never have watches in the front, but they always have them in the safe, you know, because that's just how they play that game. I've had people go in for their first watch and get, like, one of these. You know, this is a Submariner. Just a regular black sub ceramic. And these retail for $9,200. Mm-hmm. And these resell for about $16,000.
Really good.
Yeah,
I got 16K on my wrist.
Something I want to ask you is because, as you know, I was looking for my own Rolex like last week or so.
Yeah.
And when I went into the store, I didn't know what to ask. I was just like, yeah. Is it cute? Like, let me see what it looked like. Then when I talked to Xavier about it, he was like, well, did you ask about the papers? Did you ask what year? Was like, did you ask all these questions? I'm like, I had no idea I was supposed to ask all these questions. I mean, a watch is a watch. So mm-hmm. for people who are watch shopping, what questions do they need to be asking the watch dealers?
Definitely ask if it's like boxing papers. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, like if you're looking at modern watches, it's not going to come with actual papers. Mm-hmm. It's just a card. Mm-hmm. So the card is equivalent to the paperwork. Whatever the warranty, wherever they put the warranty on there, that's the papers. You know, so Patek actually still has papers. AP has a card now. They used to have a booklet. It used to come in a book with the warranty work written on it. So definitely ask them if it has like the warranty and the box. Mm-hmm. The box really isn't that important because you can buy those for like a couple $100 on eBay. Mm-hmm. Most of the time they're real. But that definitely, wherever that warranty comes in, that's the most important part. That could make, like, this watch being $65,000, $66,000. You know, if it's naked, now it's worth $58,000 just because of that car.
Because of the car.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It can be out of warranty for 5 years already. Mm-hmm. It could be out of warranty, but if it doesn't have that card, it devalues it, like, mm-hmm. pretty tremendously.
crazy.
Yep.
And this is something that this was also another question that everybody was asking when you talk about watches and Plain Janes and Bust Down. Mm-hmm. So why does Plain Janes hold their value compared to Bust Downs? And is that 100% accurate?
Yeah, I mean it's not 100% accurate, right? So you can have a factory bust down, right? Mm-hmm. You can have a Patek that was completely bust down from the factory, right? Now that watch is worth always a million plus. Like there's no, I can't really say that, but there's not usually a bust down watch from factory that's all diamonds worth less than $1 million now. You know what I mean? But they retail for somewhere around like $300,000 to $320,000 ish. But if you're talking aftermarket, then yeah, that ruins the watch pretty big, because now what they're doing is they're taking a watch and they're drilling into the watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you drilling into like a factory case and stuff like that, you know, that hurts the value a lot. But what people do usually is they take the movement out. They do an aftermarket case, they do an aftermarket bracelet, and they have just the regular movement, and they drill into the fake or aftermarket steel, gold, whatever they use. The reason why it does affect it so much is because, you know, just like cars, watch people are, they're connoisseurs, like you said. You know, they're pretty sacrilege. It's like putting neon lights on an F40 Ferrari. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You just don't do that. You know, so it's just things that you just don't do to watch.
Mm.
Yeah.
let's talk about protection and just about the appreciation of a watch. Two things, because I got a friend of mine. He had an AP. I think he said he paid like $80,000 for it, and now it's worth like $270,000, around $300,000. But at the same time, he lost the watch.
Oh, so, that guy. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it's like, talk about how can people that buy these things, because they are luxuries, which means they cost money. Like, how can they protect it? Because a lot of times people will say, well, what if somebody just steals your watch? What if you get robbed? Yeah. Now you're out of the money. So you mind just talking about that?
Yeah. That's easy. Insurance. That's easy. Just get insurance. If you own a house or if you have car insurance, they usually have a blanket or whatever it's called. They'll add it. You know, if you have a home, you can put it under your homeowner's insurance. Mm-hmm. If it gets to a certain point where you have like this many watches, you probably don't want to put it on a regular like home insurance. You want to get like a very special type of insurance, and they offer that. You can just Google it. They have plenty of like insurance companies that specialize in just jewelry and watches and things like that. Okay. But yeah, and it sucks too, because if your watch gets stolen or if it gets lost or really stolen, like people don't help you. You know what I mean? Like you can call the cops, you can do it, but they're not going to do much. They're going to be like, oh, sir, wow, somebody stole your $150,000 watch. You know, like, oh, you can afford $150,000 watch. Yeah. You don't need it.
You don't need it.
You know what I mean? So they look, because there's plenty of people who steal like RMs and stuff like that, and they never get found because people really don't care about, you know, a rich person getting something stolen from them. You know, as shitty as that sounds.
Mm.
But yeah, just to answer the question, just definitely get insurance. Get an appraisal. Find somebody who does appraisals. I do them. and they don't cost much. Anywhere from, you know, $150 to $300 is usually what the appraisals cost. And you submit that to your insurance, and it's usually 1% of the watch value, something. That's usually how much it costs. So it's definitely important to get.
Definitely important.
Buying a watch feels like buying a whole house. Like
yeah.
You got to get the papers. You got to get an appraisal.
It can be.
Hey,
when
you're spending this much money, you better make sure you get the necessary steps. And this question that was asked by a woman, she said, what's the best type of watch investments for women since men's appreciate more?
So that's an easier question to answer now. Compared to like back then, because now, you know, every watch is unisex. You know, there's not really any women's watches or men's watches anymore. Women are actually transitioning to those bigger watches. They love the bigger watches. You guys are shaking your head.
She's trying to talk me out of a big watch.
I think this is the watch right here that she was trying to get.
Yeah, so okay. So this one's
That's the exact one, I think, right?
Let me see.
Yeah,
something like it. Is that the one that the pictures that you were sending me?
I think.
It's very similar.
Yeah. So Dejos. This one's cool because this dial used to be black.
Don't that
really?
Look nice?
Yeah, it looked really nice.
It used to be black.
It looked really nice. You can mouse on the camera too.
That used to be black. So that's called the Tropic Dial. So that used to
How
be
much
black.
Is that one?
This one's probably somewhere around like 11,000.
Yeah, okay.
Usually it would be probably somewhere around 7. But
really,
because that black dial turned brown, that's called a Tropic Dial, and that's actually like worth a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So really,
like, it all depends on what watch you like, but try to go for like the 40 millimeters if you can wear that, but most women can't, so they go down to like the 36. Any 36 Dejos is fine.
Start with that
The
first watch.
Yep. But again, it all depends on how much money you have to spend. You know? Somebody like Tay, you know, he don't care. He be spending money.
Yeah, Tay, right. Tay, he told me he spent like $100 this year on watches.
Yeah, and 90 of that was with me.
They're great investments.
They hold their value. And so, another question was someone asked was how to bargain the right way when purchasing a watch.
I mean, every dealer has their margins.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I try to stay around like the 7 to 11% range, just because that's where we feel comfortable and it's not too overpriced and it's just about market. Mm-hmm. Most dealers are probably working around that 10 to 15% range. I mean, there's really no way to bargain. It's just all about how much the dealer likes you, I guess, or how much he wants to take off for you. I mean, the best thing to say is just ask. The worst they can say is no, you know, or shop. You know what I mean? If somebody comes to me, I try to give them the best price that I can right then and there. And it's usually the best price that they get. Sometimes I get beat out, but yeah, the best thing you can do is just ask how much money they can take.
What's the best way to actually find reputable watch dealers? Like, is there a specific site where you go find some in your area, or how does that work?
Yeah. If you look in the description, you'll see Alfred Green 94 on Twitter.
Alfred is the one and only.
everybody knows somebody. If you have like family that buys a lot of watches, I would ask them first, like who they go to, because then you know keep it in the family. I don't like taking people's customers like at all. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just a courtesy thing. Class. In the business. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you say, hey, I usually work with this guy, but he can't find this, can you find it? I'll be like, right. Yeah, I can find it, but give him time to find it because they're out there. You know what I mean? And if he can't really find it, then come to me because, you know, I wouldn't want that for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't want you going to somebody else without telling me, really. You know what I mean? But, I mean, watch dealers are everywhere. You can you can find them anywhere. And they're pretty easy to get.
What's a watch that you think is like a pretty much a guarantee for it to not only maintain its value but for it to appreciate?
Yeah, see, I don't like even calling watches necessarily investments because I mean, even though some are, right? But I can't tell the future. You know what I mean? Nobody can tell the future. I don't know where the market's going. And, you know, I don't know where the economy's going. You know what I mean? And that affects everything. You know what I mean? So if the market takes a crash, my watches are taking a crash. Yep. You know what I mean? They're kind of similar because people who buy my watches, I mean, they're in the you know, the upper class. You know what I mean? So if they're losing money, I'm gonna lose money. You know, so that's how that's kind of how it is. But right now, if we're talking right now, pretty much any Rolex, any sports model Rolex is going to appreciate at least in the next 6 months. Any AP like Royal Oak, Chrono.
Royal Oak's going crazy.
Yeah. Even the one that Tay bought the other week that you've seen, that one will go up. I can do reference numbers too. 15500s, 26331, 15400s. I'm trying to find B's 15450. It's a 37mm Royal Oak right now.
Shout out to B's.
So yeah, there's definitely some that are worth investing in, you know, now, but I just can't tell you, like, you know, what the future. pants.
Is there a watch that you would say you absolutely shouldn't buy? Like out of all the
watches? Oh, yeah, yeah. I can give you brands if you want.
Go ahead.
Hublot. Stay away from Hublot. Wow. If you're going to buy Hublot, buy it on the secondary market because they're always going to be less than retail pretty much. There's really no Hublot that trades over except for the Marikami one. Okay. That's actually going like decently over. But that's like the only one I can think of. Breitling doesn't do the best on secondary market. So if you are, don't buy them from an authorized dealer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just buy it from a gray market dealer, they call us. Don't buy a Tudor thinking you're going to make a shit ton of money. Mm. You know what I mean? There's definitely plenty. I mean, Citizen. you know, all those stuff. They don't. If your goal is investment, if your goal is to get value or keep it, you know what I mean? So, like I said, I don't like calling watches investments, but there are definitely watches you can buy and you will not lose money on. That's almost a better way to say it.
I want to talk about the Cartis for a second because I feel like this past summer, everybody was getting the Santo Carti, busting them down. I seen some watch dealers were selling them from about 30K. You know what I'm saying? You can get a DeSantos for less than 10. And they was bustling down selling them for 30. But it seems like the market for that is cooling down a little bit now.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. No, I see that market slowing down for sure.
Yeah.
Just the rappers just made them.
Popular. Yeah, the rappers you know made them extremely popular.
You know? I mean, you can buy one for anywhere from like 18 to 25,000 right now. And that's like a decent buy, and you shouldn't lose too much money right now.
Right now.
But I always say, yo, buy what you like, because when things go to shit, you'll still like the watch.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Don't if you buy the watch based on like how much money you're gonna make. If everything goes bad, if everything goes south, you're gonna hate looking at your wrist.
Nah, that's a good
point.
You know
what I mean? You're gonna get mad every time.
That's a good point. I just want to touch on because I still think like your story is like it's crazy, man. Like the turnaround and for 365, that's crazy. I want to touch on like the mentality behind it. Like what made you have the belief that hey, not only can I switch my situation, but it could switch quick like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know, man. I don't know. I do things out of impulse. You know, I take risk. If you're gonna do anything, if you're young enough, like we all are, and you have time to make it back, if you're gonna risk it all, just risk it, and just make sure that you know it's a calculated risk. But if you're gonna risk it, plan on having some mentality to try to make it back. You know what I mean? That's what I base my life on. You know what I mean? If I see, I'm a big poker player too, so I do a lot of like odds. Yeah. So if I have 25% of chance of doing anything, I'm just gonna take it.
I like the mods. 25%. Me personally, I like like the mods.
You know, if I have a 12% of chance of doing something, I'm gonna take it because if I keep risk doing taker. It, eventually you're gonna hit. I'm gonna hit. Yeah. So that's how I am.
What would you say? What skill sets or the mindset you need to be in the luxury market of selling different products? Because as you know, it's a completely different world from selling things on just regular retail. You got
different audience, different clientele.
Yeah, professionalism for sure. You have to learn how to talk. You know, like I don't use the word cheap. I use affordable. You know what I mean? I try to stay around the word budget because people don't like that word, especially when they are high net worth kind of. I mean, you know, it's weird when they're spending it on jewelry and stuff like that. They don't like to hear the word budget. So I say, you know, how much do you want to spend? You know, just stuff like that. Just being like very calculated on how you even talk.
Mm-hmm.
Finding like, I don't know. I even forgot the question. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm just trying to think of everything.
What skills you need?
Networking for sure. Learn how to put yourself in places that could benefit you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do an example. Like if I'm sitting at a bar, I'm going to sit either on this corner or that corner so people can see my watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So and then I'll even play around with my business card, just twirling it. Just so if they look at my watch, they're gonna be like, "Oh, okay, that's a nice watch," And then I look at the business, I was like, oh, he sells watches.
He sells watches.
You know what I mean? So that's, I'll do stuff like that too. You just got to have, as much as it is like not the street, you got to have street smarts. You know what I mean? Like me doing things like that, you know, definitely benefit me. And I try to, and then confidence. Confidence is big too. People only buy from experts. You know,
that's a little nugget that applies to everything.
People buy from experts. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just like you saying, like you thought I've been in this business for a while, but no, I worked my ass off to study about what I needed to study and keep up what I need to keep up with, so I can not come across as an expert. Because now, I mean, I don't think I'm an expert now, but I think I'm very well knowledge in my field. You know what I mean? I went from intern to now, you know, I'm a primary buyer for my company, and stuff like that too. So, So,
real quick, do you mind going over each watch really quick, their prices and little details about them, if you
can? Yeah. All right. So, let's see. I'll start from the top. Some of these are doubles, because, but they're different prices. So you can see like these. Have very, very minor differences, so they cost a little less. So this one right here has a this black bezel, and this one's a steel bezel. You know, that means something too. But they're both pretty much the same watch. They're called Big Reds.
Okay.
A lot of these are like 100,000 each.
Okay.
A lot of these are just vintage. These are my mentor's personal watches, basically. We're like moving to a bigger place, so I didn't have access to any of the inventory, so I had to come up with something quick.
You bought some nice shit.
But I knew he had enough watches and enough money in here to wow some people. So. All right, so this is a yellow gold Oyster Flex Daytona with a ceramic.
That one's beautiful.
So this one's dubbed like the Paul Newman. So Paul Newman was a race car driver. And he made the Daytona pretty much like famous, I guess. So this is what they call a Paul Newman dial. Even though, see, like I said, some of these don't mean anything to you guys.
Right.
So they're just vintage watches. But these watches are the reason why these watches are so big, you know. So that's why I like vintage too, you know. And I also like vintage because you can be wearing $400,000 on your wrist and nobody would even blink.
Nobody would have
any idea. Because if you felt this watch, you would think nothing. You know what I mean? But it is what it is. And that's what makes it so expensive.
I say it's so expensive.
So this watch retails for somewhere around like $38,000. And it goes, or $36,000. And this one goes for $45,000 to $50,000.
Okay, because you ain't gonna get it at the Rolex store.
If
anybody but the Rolex store, it's empty everywhere.
No. Yep. Now what they're doing is, they're getting real pissed at dealers like us.
Why is that?
Because they just don't like gray market dealers. They don't like secondary market dealers, even though they're the reason why we're in business. You know what I mean? Because they're not giving people their watches.
They definitely can't. You can't get nothing.
So what they're doing now is they're putting all these watches out with no movements in them. So they don't even work, just to show that they have something in there. So people come in and they talk to them, but you can't buy them.
You can't buy them.
Even if they do have movements in them, they stop the movements inside so they don't work. So you can just look at them. You know what I mean? So they're doing stuff like that.
When I was in Miami, I went in the store and they had the exact same thing you just described. They had watches out, and then it was asked like, "Dang!" It was like, "Oh, we not selling this. You can't buy it." I'm like, "Why the hell y'all?" I was thinking like, "Why y'all got these out then?" But it makes sense now that you said it. I had no idea. I'm like, "Why the hell they got these watches out?"
They're all like that. AP's like that. Paddock's like that. It's funny. They don't like us at all. Specifically our company, because we have a big YouTube channel. I don't know if you guys
seen
the Timepiece Gentleman on YouTube. We do a day in the life series, and one of our clients is actually trying to figure out a way to say it without giving too much information.
Yeah.
One of my clients is big with a brand, so big that Switzerland is actually watching us, our channel, just to see like what watches we have, so they can send shoppers to come into our store to take down the serial numbers so they can see who sold it to us. So they're doing stuff like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's like Switzerland. I mean, in the watch business, like, if like company in Switzerland's like let's say Rolex was looking at us, the factory in Switzerland, the CEO wherever is out there, they're watching us and then sending people to us to like try to get the serial
number.
Like, no, sir.
So, yeah, it's funny. So like when people are in, they're trying to take a picture, I'll say just angle it a little bit just so you can't see the serial number at the bottom of this, you know. So I'll ask that.
I want to ask you real quick. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've been talking about the value going up and all that and the watches, but what if someone has a watch and they're ready to liquidate it to get the money? Should they just go to a watch dealer to sell it?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question, too. Yeah, they. If you know somebody that buys watches and sells watches, you can take it to them. That's probably the easiest thing you can do. Mm-hmm. You can also list it online, whether that be like Facebook Marketplace. I don't know if you want to deal with people there, but you can Craigslist, again, I don't know what it is. If you want to meet people there. eBay has a watch authentication thing now, so you can do it on eBay pretty good. Chrono 24 is like the main hub that people who don't know watches, they know watches because of Chrono 24.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the easiest thing you can do is either try to post it yourself or go to somebody who you know that buys or sells watches. Because
mm-hmm.
These things are liquid. You can always sell them. Always. It doesn't matter what it is.
What it is. Mm-hmm. There's always a market for them.
There's always a market for them. Mm. Always. So that's why when people say that this is a bubble, it's been a bubble for 10 years. It ain't doing anything. Mm. You know what I mean? It's just going to keep growing. I don't think it's a bubble. I think it'll correct eventually, but who knows when that'll be. Because when these correct, that means everything corrected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have kind of bigger problems. If you know, everything's going down, that means everything's going down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. And this is my final question I have for you, just for some motivation real quick, but somebody that may be in a situation where they probably can't see a way out and just listening to this and seeing how your life changed in a year, do you mind just giving the best piece of advice for somebody that may be on a brink of thinking ain't got no hope or something?
Man, just keep grinding, bro. Like, You can't succeed without failure.
Facts.
You know, and that's something that I believe in. I'm not scared to fail either. I'm not scared to to go broke. You know, as long as I know in myself that I could build it back up, and I don't care how long it takes, you know, I'm gonna do it. So if somebody's like doesn't see any hope there, just know that if you just keep doing what you're doing and you keep trying to grind, you're gonna make it eventually. You know, and it could be a month. It could be 6 months. It could be a year. It don't matter. You know, if you got something going, just do it.
Just do it.
That's all.
Man, I love it. And I just want to say, man, bro, we really take the time out to appreciate you. We was really excited about doing this episode.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm happy we was able to get it done. And before we let you go, do you mind plugging in all your stuff where people can find you, follow you, contact you? They want to buy a watch?
Yeah.
And all that good stuff.
So the easiest place to reach me is like Twitter would be... at Alfred Green 94, ALFREDGREENE 94. My Instagram is at Alfred Green IV. So it's ALFREDGREENE, I as in Indigo, V as in Victor. You can see some crazy antics that we do on YouTube, and that's the Timepiece Gentleman on YouTube. You can see that we put $60,000 on black at Las Vegas last weekend. You can see me getting smashed drunk at a watch event that I went to a month ago. You could just follow us everywhere there. So those are like the last three. So.
Okay.
Thank you guys again, man. I appreciate that.
No, definitely, man. We have to do this. And before we wrap up, you guys can find me on all platforms at Xavier C. Miller. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. And D, what's your info?
And you can find me on Instagram at Deanna Kent, Twitter Deanna S. Kent. And don't forget, you guys, go buy Xavier's Crypto Guide at www.guidetocrypto.com.
Thank you for that. And that's all we got for y'all. Appreciate y'all tuning in to another episode. See you guys next episode. Peace.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.